Morning, everybody. Let's start with prayer. Dear Father God, we just want to come before you. And Lord, we thank you so much for a beautiful morning. Looks like it ought to be an awesome day for motocross, which is really cool. But it's even more cool that we can be here before you and bow down before you and hear from you. Father, we love you and we thank you for everything you give us and everything you do. But we need to hear from you also. So I ask right now you'd send your Holy Spirit and that you just speak into our hearts and just touch us and lift us up and refresh us to where we can face another week and keep moving forward. Father, we love you so much, and we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read a story out of the Bible this morning. It's a little more reading than we do sometime, but it's really hard to squeeze things down into 15 minutes sometimes. So we're going to do our best to try to do it anyway. This is out of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 24. And after Jesus went to heaven, after he resurrected and he went to heaven, it wasn't long that the church was started to be persecuted. Just like today, back then people didn't like Christians either, even so the church was brand new. And persecution, it's just another word for tormenting, or, there are several words you can use. But one of the persecutors, his name was Saul, and most of us here probably heard about him. He ends up being called Paul. But right now, in this story, he still goes by the name of Saul. So I want to read some of this. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way," that's what they called it back then, "whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem." In other words, he was 100% anti-church. He didn't like people that were Christians. He didn't like any of that. He didn't believe that was correct. And his way of doing that, let's get them all arrested and lock them up. We'll kill them off, a done deal. We'll move, go about our happy way. So that's what his whole mission in life was at that point. But that ended up changing, so let's just keep reading. It says, "As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus." When God wants you, he's very plain a lot of times. He'll come right to you and say, "Hey, this is what I need you to do." That's what he did with Paul. I have a tendency to call him Paul because that's what he's called later. But that's what he did with Saul. And God revealed himself to Saul. Now, do you think he could have said no? He could have said, "I know who you are, but I don't want no part of you." I think he could have. And things would have still went on. God would have still got the job done. One thing about him, if you say no to what he wants you to do, he'll find somebody that'll do it. I'm quite sure. What he wants to get done will get done. But let's see what Saul does. Let's read some more. "For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. Lord called him in a vision. 'Ananias.' 'Yes, Lord,' he answered. The Lord told him, 'Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying.'" The fact that he is praying would tell me that I don't think he told God no. I think he's ready to listen. which I think if God speaks to you that plainly, I'd say it probably be a pretty decent convincer. But, you know, he does that to us, too. One thing the Bible says, you know, if you seek God, you will find him. That's a promise. And our problem is most of the time, I think, you know, we say a prayer and, you know, it takes us 30 seconds, 2 minutes. I don't care. Some people pray 10, 15 minutes, whatever, however long you pray. But we don't ever wait around to find out what God says. Okay, I got my prayer said. I'm in a hurry. I got to go out on the track, or I'm in a hurry. I got to go to work. I got to do this. We don't take the time to listen. And I'm not saying that at the end of a prayer we need to just sit there and just wait, where even that's good at times. You know, there's nothing wrong with that either. But a lot of us, we say our prayers and then we just run down the road. Well, Saul wasn't doing that. He's still there praying. So let's read on. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. That's what God told Ananias. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. That dude's scared. He's like, I ain't going over there. You know, if I go over there, you know, what's going to happen to me? I'm sure that was in the back of his mind. That's not what he necessarily said. But he knows what kind of person Saul was or is. And he doesn't want to go there. He's like, I don't know about this. So let's read on. It says, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. God wanted him to spread the message to us. If you think about it, if you read this, because Gentiles, that'd be us. You know, you have the Jewish people and then you have the Gentiles, and we're the Gentiles. And God wanted him to bring the message to us. That's how it all started. And I think it's an awesome thing that it started that way, and that God chose him to bring us the message, because if it wasn't for him, there's a whole bunch of chapters be missing in the New Testament, because he wrote a lot of them as he progressed in his walk with Jesus. But the verse 16 is kind of a scary one. This is still God talking to Ananias, and he says, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. That's something that most people don't really want to hear. What do you mean? I got to suffer for God? I thought everything was hunky-dory. I get on TV, and a lot of those preachers just tell me, if I believe in God, everything's great. There's not going to be any problems. Sorry, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes things get tough. And we have God to help us through the tough things, but he never promises that things are going to be all easy. He just promises that he's going to work everything out for the best that he will, that it needs to be worked out. But we'll go on. Let's read some more. It says, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. And then wild, I mean, talk about a 180. I mean, from being ready to kill the Christians to preaching it, just boom, just like that. And, you know, that's how it works with a lot of us. Once we make a decision for Jesus, you know, it says we become born again. Well, that's because the Holy Spirit comes and starts living inside of us, and it renews us, and it changes us. 100 and 300, well, it changes us, period. I'm not sure where that was going, but we are changed. We are no longer the same. The Bible says we're a new creation. All the old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's what we are. We will be new. And that's the same thing that happened to Saul. I mean, he was a totally different person all of a sudden. It says, yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Ain't that great? I mean, just boom. He made a 180 and go in the other direction. And a lot of us need to do that. You know, a lot of us, even so we're Christians, we still need to do that because we get off on things that we ought to not be doing sometimes and we need to come back. And that's the great thing about God. He lets us do U-turns. That's why Jesus came and paid the price, because if something goes wrong, we're not good enough to pay the price for it, so he did. So U-turns are allowed. And the whole point of this message, and I know it was a lot of reading that I did, but the whole point of this message is God can change anybody. It don't matter how bad the person is or what they've done, God can change them. But we have to allow him to change us. I really believe if Saul would have said, God, leave me alone. I want no part of you. God would have left him alone. He would have went out and found somebody else to do what he did. But when God comes and talks to you, it's a good time to answer. And it's just like right now. If you feel God knocking at your heart, as you know, that is kind of Christianese there, the way it's, if you feel something saying, hey, you need to change your way, you ought to do that. Because you don't know if you get another chance. I mean, we don't know how long we'll be here. And I remember not too long ago, I was 17 years old. Well, maybe that was a little longer ago, but time flies. And, you know, they always say, you know, the older you get, the faster it goes. It does feel like it. You know, heck, just yesterday was Christmas, and now we're here in August. You know, that's what it feels like. It's pretty crazy. So I can't make anybody want to come to Jesus. It's not even my job. My job is to come here and tell you about Jesus. Tell you about the fact that he died on the cross, rose 3 days later, and is now in heaven preparing a place for us. And that if we believe that he did that, that he is our Savior because of what he did, if we believe that, we will be saved. The Bible promises that. And that's what I'm here to tell you. But to make you change, I can't do that. The only one that can do that is the Holy Spirit. And if you feel the Holy Spirit calling you, you got to answer. Because God is a gentleman. And if you say no, I firmly believe he will say okay, and he'll turn around and walk away. He might try again tomorrow, but yeah. You know, what if you get hit by a truck on the way home? That'd be awful. That sounds really cold, but I mean, what if that happened? It'd be kind of scary. So I'm going to be here all day, and if anybody wants to know more about that, on what it means to be saved, I'd be glad to talk to them. I know most of you here, you know, already are saved, and if you have started going down a direction that you shouldn't, make the U-turn, because God allows it. And the refreshing of the Holy Spirit is awesome. I mean, we don't believe in Jesus because of feelings, but when the Holy Spirit touches us, it is an awesome feeling. And with that, I'd like to close. Dear Father God, we just love you. Saul is the perfect example that no matter what, you can use anybody. You can change anybody. And anybody here that needs changing, I just ask that you would touch them. Draw them to you. Let them know. Now you said, the Bible says that you will show people that you are real if they seek you. So I ask right now that you would touch the people that need touching at this moment. We thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to come together like this out in the open. Many countries, they can't do that. So we just thank you so much. We thank you for speaking into our hearts this morning, Lord. And as we get ready to go riding, I just ask you that you'd be with us, protect us, watch over us. Let us have a good time. And as I always say, let's do it for your glory and not ours, Lord. We just thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all for coming.